On this Thanksgiving holiday weekend, it's Garden Talk live at KSRO, AM and FM from Santa Rosa, California, celebrating our 31st year here in the heart of Sonoma County. I'm Steve Garner, along with Dave Fazio. David pinch-hitting for Gwen Kilcher today. Dave, the owner of the Sonoma Mission Gardens for over 40 years, the beautiful premier garden spot of Sonoma County out at Craig and Arnold Drive. Do visit that nursery and have your minds blown. Also, take a course or two from Dave Fazio. He's been teaching at the JC Horticulture Department. He's the longest running professor of horticulture at the JC, some 35 plus years, teaching his plant ID course. And he's in the studio today answering gardening questions at 636-1350. Do get in this hour and chat with Dave on any questions or plant identification problems you might be having. Joining us this hour is Rachel Spaeth. Rachel is the garden curator for our Luther Burbank Gardens here in Santa Rosa, California. And you have a big open house coming up next weekend, don't you?
Yes, we do. So the first weekend in December is typically our big holiday open house. It runs from 10 until 4, costs $3 to get in, and we serve tea and cookies in the greenhouse. The house is decorated for the holidays. Kids are free, important to note. And you get to go in through the house, which is not typically open to the general public. So that's really awesome. And we have a docent stationed in each room so they can tell you about all the furnishings and the intricacies of Luther Burbank's life. And that's a lot of fun. Yeah.
And you also can ride Rosie the trolley around, I understand, too.
You can. You can ride Rosie the trolley from there to the Finley Community Center where they're doing the craft fair. And so that's also a fun experience, even just to go to and from on the little trolley.
Will you be there both days?
I will be there both days, yes. I will probably be picking a lot of kiwi to share with people. It's a little bit early, but we have a huge abundance this year. And since we'll have a high traffic of people coming through, I'm willing to just, you know, bring a bag or I'll have bags there and send it out with you. Worst case scenario, you let it ripen on your counter for 3 to 5 days and it'll still be amazing.
So you have male and female kiwis planted?
Yeah, the female is probably between 35 and 40 years old, and the male is about 10 years younger than her, and it is significantly loaded this year.
It was amazing, the quantity of kiwi that are up there in that arbor. My students were looking at those enviously.
Dave took his SRJC plant ID students over for a look around a couple weeks ago, didn't you? Mm-hmm. So you saw all those kiwis. Did you pick any kiwis?
They wanted to, but I encouraged them not to because it's not polite. We even had a couple people that wanted to pick the nopales off the cactus. And
yeah.
They did, I have to admit, they did take one of the tuna, the little red
fruits on the cactus.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a couple of Hispanic people in my class and they were explaining how you eat that particular thing. So it was kind of a learning experience for some of them.
Wow. And are all the quince been harvested at the
The quince are done. Most of the other things are pretty much done. People have been really interested in this weird fruit that I have that's called a medlar.
Oh, I know medlar.
Yeah, or a sorb apple, I think people call it. Or sometimes they call it a mountain ash, which everybody gets angry at me because they're like, it's not really an ash.
Our guest on the Good Food Hour with Chef John Ash is Sarah Burr. She's written the book, The Fruit Forager's Companion. Mm. And one of her entries is the medlar.
Oh, cool.
But she said it's a pretty difficult fruit to work with. It's not something you just pick off the tree and pop in your mouth.
That's true. Yeah, it's very, very starchy on the inside. And kind of like when you eat a persimmon that's not ripe and it makes you pucker really sourly. I call it my instant karma fruit because people think it's really beautiful. And so they'll pop one in their mouth and I'm like, you shouldn't have picked my fruit. But they undergo this really cool process called bledding where the starch converts to sugar. So they turn from this really beautiful yellow with a pink blush to this gorgeous chocolatey brown color, and then they taste a little bit like tamarind, and they're actually pretty tasty like that.
Yeah, but they're only really tasty when they're almost rotted.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Found out that historically there were a couple of other uses for it. So whenever people are making hard cider, if they get that cloudiness in their hard cider, you can throw a couple of the sorbus in there and it'll clarify your cider for you. I'm not exactly sure how that process works. Or the other thing that they used to do in Roman times was quarter them and pickle them. I mean, I guess you can probably pickle just about anything to make it edible, but...
Yeah, only Rachel can geek out about medlars. You know, like very few people can. They're not really very common. It's like you could cite a unicorn or a medlar maybe around here.
Yeah, but it is a prominent, when you're walking around the garden, people notice it.
Did Luther Burbank work with them? Is that why they're
in the... He did, yeah. He was trying to use it as an inner stem for plants, because you can graft a lot of things in the rose family together, so you can graft like quince and apple and pear together if you have the right inner stem, or if you have them in the right order. You have to use quince as the rootstock because it wakes up first, and then you can put apples and pears on that. If you try to put a pear on an apple, what happens is pear wants to wake up in the spring, but apple's like, I'm not quite ready yet, and so it starves. And in our particular climate, where we have like kind of conjoined, they'll wake up together a lot of times. Usually you can get away with having your pear on an apple for a couple of years, but it'll have that delayed incompatibility eventually, where the pear is the morning person and the apple just wants to wake up in the afternoon.
And so are you giving away medlars too, or what are you doing with those?
You know, I might put some out for tasting just in with our cookies and stuff. I have a little bit of Membrio left that I'll probably put out with those too.
Because with medlars, I know you can maybe make medlar butter or medlar applesauce, kind of gritty, but
sure,
it would work for that.
Yeah, you could probably do that, and it would still be really tasty. Realistically, though, you'd probably just want to use apples or pears. A little easier to work with.
Hi there, Dave. Hi there, Rachel. Hi there, Steve. I would like a couple of ideas for a walkable lawn substitute on a flat area that faces south, but is shaded for half the time by the shade of nearby tall trees, sort of half sun and half shade. This is between the sidewalk and house, bisected by a brick walk. Thank you, Susan. Any thoughts?
Lipia.
That was going to be my first reaction, too.
All right.
Oh my gosh, we're on the same wavelength.
There's this little plant they call it Lipia grass, but it's not a grass at all. It doesn't even look like a grass. It looks more like clover or something. But it's a low grower, evergreen spreader, tolerates a lot of abuse.
L-I-P-I-A?
Two P's.
Oh, two P's.
L-I-P-P-I-A.
Okay.
Lipia. Phyllanotiflora. And it's an interesting little plant, and traffic-wise, as far as a walkable ground cover is concerned, it's probably one of the best. Out at the Delta, there was some of this in front of a great aunt's place, and they used to park on it and everything else, and it always looked fairly decent, you know, and not a ton of water.
Wow.
And I don't even think that the deer like it either.
How's it look in winter?
It looks fine in winter. Yeah, it'll get little cute flowers on it. You can get it in a light purple or a light pink or a white even. There's a class at UC Davis that has been doing drought trials with it, and they say it requires about 20% of the water that a lawn would.
Boy, well, that's a very versatile plant then.
Yeah.
How big will it get? 2-3 inches?
Four, maybe.
Four inches.
In flower.
In flower, yeah.
Yeah, because it's got almost like a little clover blossom that stands up, and the bees love it when it's in bloom.
Nice. And it can take abuse. Well, Dave's saying you can park a car on it here. Sounds like an endorsement. Would you plant them now for spring, for the winter rains?
Or we've been planting an area of Lipia for one of our clients, and it's taking hold really nicely, even with the cold that we had a couple of weeks ago and stuff. It looks good.
And you can plant. What about I have some boxwoods that I just planted in a small area of a corner. Would that be a nice ground cover to plant around the boxwoods, or no?
I don't know. Why not? It's not going to hurt the boxwood. You know, and it's not like the only answer. There are other evergreen ground covers, but most of them are going to require more water, and they're not going to take as much traffic. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, I mean, walking across a ground cover once in a while is one thing, but if you're walking back and forth on a daily basis and stuff, the Lipia is going to tolerate a lot more abuse in that sense, and you're not going to end up with a muddy path through your ground cover.
Wow. So Lipia would be first. Well, it's funny, you both came up with it at the same time. Do you have maybe a few others that you want to consider that look a little different than the Lipia?
Well, because of the part sun and shade location, there's a blue star creeper, mm-hmm. Which used to be known as Isotoma, but I think it's now called Proudia something.
I think they changed it, yeah.
And that was one of the things that hit me. And Some of the times will tolerate a little bit of that kind of a condition. It just depends on how much shade she has. Mm-hmm. If it's a heavy shade, I'd stay away from the time because it would like more sunshine. Okay. But time is good because it's drought tolerant and low growing, and most of them bloom, and some of them have colored leaves, and the deer leave them alone, and you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So those are good. So Blue Star Creeper, time, and a number one Lipia, mm-hmm. both of you. Yep.
Definitely.
We'll take a break. Be right back. Take more calls at 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com. We have not one but two experts in the greenhouse today. Dave Fazio, owner of the Sonoma Mission Gardens, and Rachel Spaeth, garden curator for the Luther Burbank Gardens here in Santa Rosa. Both here to answer your gardening questions, and nobody on hold at this moment, and a couple emails, but you can get in via email too. But take advantage of this hour. 11:05 brings us Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen. We'll debrief Thanksgiving. We'll talk about crab season, and we'll welcome Sarah Bird to the program. Sarah's new book is The Fruit Forager's Companion: Ferments, Desserts, Main Dishes, and More from Your Neighborhood and Beyond. She'll be on the Good Food Hour today, and one of you will win a copy of this terrific new book.
Bennett Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive.
Black Friday sale. What do those three magical words mean? For the first time ever, you can get up to $100 off the purple mattress and a free purple blanket. That's right. For 4 days only, save $100 on the world's most comfortable mattress and get a free limited edition purple blanket. But you might ask yourself, what's so great about the purple mattress? The purple mattress is unlike any other bed out there. It feels and supports your body differently than memory foam, pillow top, or springs. It uses a unique technology called the Smart Comfort Grid that dynamically cradles your pressure points and stays cool for the best sleep you've ever had. Try the purple mattress risk-free for 100 nights, and right now, get $100 off and a free blanket during our 4-day Black Friday sale. Don't miss this once-in-a-year event. To get this exclusive deal, text SECRET to 797979 right now. That's SECRET to 797979. To get this limited-time offer, text SECRET to 797979.
I'm local attorney Roy Miller. In July 2017, PG&E's CEO testified about tree trimming, saying that everything is going great. At that time, PG&E audits showed it had failed to trim around 500,000 trees which threatened power lines. PG&E's own records showed the North Bay was at 3 times greater wildfire risk than any other area it served. PG&E only spends about 2% of its operating budget on tree trimming, and this endangers us all. PG&E burned down my family's home and yours. We will rebuild our lives. We will rebuild our neighborhoods. We will rebuild our community. If you need help with insurance, rebuilding, or recovering for your losses, call me at 575-1040 or go to firejustice.com for more information. Join us for a meeting about your rights this Tuesday at 6 p.m. at Hanson & Miller Law Firm, 415 Russell Avenue in Santa Rosa.
You know, there's no denying it's unhealthy. It makes you cough and hurts your lungs. Burning wood in your fireplace pollutes the air outside and inside your home. Safeguard your family's health this winter. If your home is smoking, it's time to quit. It's your air. Protect it. To learn more, visit sparetheair.org.
This month, win big at Graton Resort and Casino. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. On Thursdays, play in our anniversary slot tournaments. Up to 30,000 in prizes at each tournament. Get your collectible anniversary rewards card. New members sign up for Graton Rewards and get up to $500 in free play. Learn more at GratonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It is Garden Talk Live at KSRO with Dave Fazio and Rachel Spaeth pinch-hitting for Gwen Kilcher today. You can reach both of these expert gardeners at 636-1350. Dave, owner of Sonoma Mission Gardens, also teaching at the Horticulture Department at the Santa Rosa Junior College. And, of course, Rachel will learn about her teaching career at the JC, which is just getting underway. And also, she's the garden curator at the Luther Burbank Gardens here in Santa Rosa. Marie from Healdsburg has a question for us. Welcome to the show. Hi, Marie.
Hi. My question is, and I didn't catch the date that they were having the tour of the Burbank Garden.
It's next Saturday and Sunday, 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
Thank you very kindly.
Oh, that was it, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that was easy, wasn't it? I'll tell you what. We could take a email question. Why don't we go back to the emails and grab that? And that is about kiwis. Rachel, you ready to tackle a kiwi question?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
I live in West County. I have a kiwi that produces lots of fruit and grows like a weed, but the fruit never seems to get soft. Do I have to wait till January? The kiwi hasn't lost any leaves yet, and that's from Bruce over in Sebastopol.
Yeah, Bruce. So if you want them to vine ripen, you would probably want to wait until January on them. You can pick them hard now, and commercially that's what they'll do. They'll test the kiwi to see that they're at a certain degree's Brix so that they've reached the sugar content that they need, and then they'll ship them hard so that they can off-ripen. Otherwise, they bruise too easily, and you would lose a lot in post-harvest. So if you are interested in distributing them through, like, a grocery store or something, then you would want to pick them a little bit more firm. If you want it just for your own personal use, you can start picking whenever you feel like it and ripen them with just sticking them in a brown paper bag with bananas or apples, something that's going to produce that ethylene gas, and it'll ripen them really nicely for you.
That's what I did with my pears for Thanksgiving. They weren't quite ready for my crisp. Mm-hmm. Cut an apple in half, put in a brown paper bag, and a day later, they were just perfect.
Just perfect.
Medium firm.
Yep, absolutely. Realistically, the squirrels will tell you when they're ready. So if you just go by the squirrel indicator, they know when they're delicious.
Well, that's like the old farmer's almanac approach, Rachel.
It sure is.
So what have you been doing at the JC in the horticulture department recently?
Yeah, so currently I'm working on teaching the introduction to horticulture class over there, which is really fun. You get to inspire people to do what they want to do, kind of show them other careers that they might not have realized were available. Like one of the things that I was talking about in my class the other day was how we're using drones now to assess nitrogen quality in a field. So you can program your drone to fly over your field with a little light sensor on it, and it'll tell you which spots in your yard need more nitrogen. It's fantastic for these multi-acre farms where they're growing rice or they're growing almonds or something like that, so they can pinpoint direct application for something.
Will it do other nutrient deficiency readouts besides nitrogen?
I think right now they're just doing nitrogen with it because greenness is a proxy for nitrogen content. I don't know that they can do that with like phosphorus or potassium or anything yet. But then the other really exciting thing that's happening at the JC is we're working on getting a tissue culture lab in there from the USDA through some excess materials that they had. So I'm not sure when that is all going to get installed and everything. I'm sure that we need to have like a significant break to be able to do the remodeling to get that in there. But we are expanding the program to include with our propagation set tissue culture, which is really exciting.
So are you going to be teaching a class on propagation and tissue culture?
Currently, I'm teaching the propagation class over at UC Davis. And so if that's what the JC wants me to do and it fits into my schedule, I'm happy to do it.
Do you actually have room in your schedule?
Isn't that funny? I know. I it would seem sometimes I do.
And what will installing a tissue culture lab enable you and the students to do that you can't do now?
Yeah, so it allows us to do micropropagation and also
what's that mean?
So taking just a tiny, tiny piece of a plant and turning it into a whole plant. There's another thing we can do. So with plant breeding, sometimes you try to breed two things that are too distantly related, and so the embryo won't fully Germany. It won't fully develop. So you can use the tissue culture lab to put them, those embryos, in a slurry and do embryo rescue. So then you're creating new plants in a way that, like, Luther Burbank could have never imagined. So that's really cool. The other thing we can do with tissue culture is virus cleanup. So if you have a plant with a virus in it, you can take just little tiny bits of that plant and either kind of expose it to some chemicals or really gnarly heat treatments and then regrow that from just a small amount of tissue. And we were able to do that with Luther Burbank's white blackberry a few years ago. Oh. So some people may have noticed that through Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, the people that run the Petaluma Seed Bank and the National Heirloom Exposition, they are actually offering Luther Burbank's Snowbank white blackberry for sale now. And that's because we sent samples to a company in Florida called AgriStarts, and they did tissue culture and heat treatment. It took them 2 years, so it was a really long process, but now they're able to offer that plant virus free.
Well, how's the flavor of that white blackberry versus the traditional ones?
It tastes just like a blackberry.
Only it's white.
Only it's white. It's almost disappointing in a way, because you really want it to taste a little different and be a little, have a little more punch to it or something, right? I don't know that. I think it's a really great fruit for a home user that wants to wow their friends.
I was going to ask, wow factor.
Yeah. Commercially, I don't know that it'll ever be successful, because they do bruise really easily. And when they bruise, they turn yellowish to brown. And so it doesn't keep that white quality about it.
Okay. Hi, Dave. Hi there, Rachel. Hi, Steve. I live in Healdsburg, and my pomegranate had lots of blooms, but they all dropped and no fruits this year. It's 5 years old, and I've had fruit before. Help! And that's from Pam.
Pam, did you overwater it?
Or did you not water it?
Oh.
Because so both of those factors are the chief leading problem in fruit drop on most all your fruit trees, and especially with pomegranates. Even though they're native to a fairly dry area and stuff, if they don't get enough water, they're going to, the flowers will get brown looking and fall. Okay. In the mid to late summertime. Usually.
So it doesn't have to do with excess frost or anything like that. It's really water related. Both of you were nodding.
In all probability, yeah. It's probably water related.
You agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Do you have pomegranates at the Luther Burbank Gardens?
I do. I have a dwarf one that makes a beautiful hedge but never really ripens in the fruit quality. So we just grow it as an ornamental. And then I did put in a larger size one in the wildlife habitat garden that just isn't very large yet.
Like a Palm Wonderful, or do you know what variety it is?
The one that we put in the wildlife habitat garden is one of the really cool rescues that came from Russia.
Oh.
Yeah.
That whole pomegranate rescue.
That whole pomegranate rescue ago. Collection.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So when is that going to bear fruit?
You know, it probably won't bear fruit. It was a cutting when we put it in there, so it has sufficient maturity, but it probably needs to get to a size that would be adequate. It's been in there for about 2 years now, so maybe in another three.
Okay. We'll take a break. It's a half-hour point. Rachel Spaeth from the Luther Burbank Gardens and Dave Fazio, two experts. You rarely get this opportunity to have both of these folks in the studio. Avail yourself. Keep them busy during the next half hour, either via email, steve@ksro.com, or 636-1350. Nobody on hold at this moment. Any gardening question under the sun, one of these two can probably answer it. Give us a call or an email right now. This is KSRO.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What happens next? Rising inflation drops into the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. You can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins in an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. Call 855-858-5807 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation. Call Augusta Precious Metals right now at 855-858-5807 and get a free gold IRA guide. Call 855-858-5807.
Hey folks, this is George Adair from Bay Equity Home Loans. We're your local lender, but I want you to know we have cutting edge technology available to you. I'm really excited to announce our Bay Equity Express closing. You don't have to go search the internet to find your home loan lender. We're right here in Santa Rosa, Petaluma, and Windsor. Bay Equity Home Loans offers many loan programs with amazing technology. At closing, you can digitally sign your loan documents. It saves time, saves frustration, and we get to the closing process so much faster. If you're buying in Sonoma County, the speed to close is one of the most important factors in getting your offer accepted. The reputation of Bay Equity locally is amongst the best. Visit us at bayequityloans.com or call 707-583-8100. Again, 707-583-8100. Bay Equity is your home for loans.
Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight California Finance Lender Law and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS ID 245370.
Hi, it's Jeff Davis again for Park Place Hearing Center in Petaluma. As you can imagine, the main reason people avoid wearing a hearing device is the embarrassment factor. I get it, but you don't want to put yourself at risk of feeling isolated because you have a hard time hearing group conversations. And there won't be a lot of family and friends gathering for the holiday season. If you think about it, a hearing device is no different than having to wear reading glasses after we turn 40.
My name is Dennis Tobin, the owner of Park Place Hearing Center. The newest products connect directly to a smartphone. It's a great technology.
Yeah, look at it this way. You or your loved one will be on the cutting edge with the devices available today. The new sensory-driven technology can monitor your interaction with others, provide step counting, and even detect if the user falls. That could put you at ease if you're worrying about a parent. Stop in and see Dennis at Park Place Hearing Center and take advantage of their free hearing test. They're in Petaluma and San Rafael and parkplacehearing.com. The holidays are here. Stop in today for the best offers of the year at Shutterbug Camera Shop. Happening now. Get your personalized holiday cards, year in review photo books or calendars, or how about metal and acrylic prints of loved ones? There are so many unique gift ideas at Shutterbug Camera Shop on Santa Rosa Avenue north of Todd and ShutterbugCameraShops.com.
Shutterbug, old-fashioned service in the digital age.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Black Friday's rush and bargain frenzy boiled over into big sales for retailers and violence at some spots. ABC's Lindsay Davis has more.
An estimated 116 million people dashing out for deals across the country. Customers tearing clothes off shelves, literally fighting for the deals in the aisle. The shopping madness at times ending in senseless violence. In New Jersey, police are searching for a gunman after a man was shot in the arm after a fight broke out, sending shoppers running for their lives.
The holiday shopping season just getting underway. ABC's consumer correspondent Becky Worley says there are plenty of deals left and trends coming from this year's Black Friday weekend.
There are deals that are online that are limited quantity. They're like the doorbusters that we see in store. Those sold out in store fast, but I think they sold out online faster this year. And one of the reasons, mobile shopping accounted for a third of all online shopping. It's a way of life for a lot of millennials now.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Partly cloudy and dry for the weekend. Today at 63 degrees, 58 on the coast. A few clouds tonight, low 39, 43 on the shores. A few clouds for Sunday at 65, 59 in Bodega Bay. Overcast for Monday at 64, 60 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
It is Garden Talk. It is live. It is KSRO. Welcome to the show, everybody. Happy holiday weekend. Garden Talk with Steve Garner and special guests today, Dave Fazio and Rachel Spaeth, all combining to answer a question from Peggy this morning. Hi, Peggy. What can we do for you?
I have a question about mustard. It's so pretty in the fields, yellow in February. I just love it. And I live out in the country, so what I did is I bought some mustard seed, and I was told to put it out when it starts to rain. And my question is now, am I asking for trouble with that stuff? Am I planting something that's going to be horrible, or is it, can I control it? You know, I mean, I don't know.
You can control it. And, you know, granted, if you leave it bloom yellow and let the flowers die and stuff, it'll set seed and come back for you next year from what you're leaving there. And it may spread a little bit. But normally it doesn't become a weed problem where you plant, you know, a half a dozen and in a year you've got 800 of them running around in the garden on you. But it, the vineyardists and stuff planted a lot of the mustard and you know, they are not like an invasive weed, I guess. I don't think they're on the invasive weed species. I don't even know where they're native to off the top of my head at the moment. But
well, I was wondering if there's a insect that might be drawn to them, that I might have a problem that way. Or is there an insect problem with it all?
And not that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay.
How about you, Rach?
No, I haven't really seen too much with that. Like, maybe you'll get those cabbage worms, but those are kind of ubiquitous anyways.
Yeah, and they're around all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think you're going to attract any more pests to your yard by having them there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, mustard greens are a fairly popular thing, especially with the Italian community. And when they catch them early and... I think it's olive oil and red pepper.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is delicious eating.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'll think about it.
Okay. Thanks.
It was nice hearing you, Dave.
Thank
you. I enjoy you each time you're on. So.
Well, thank you.
Thanks very much. And this direct question directed toward you, Rachel, is your guest ever going to teach a class on the soil, food web, and biome? Does she know of any classes around Sonoma County?
I think we do have a soil science class that's taught at the JC. That isn't my class per se, but we do have an instructor who's teaching that class. And it is just kind of an introductory class. So to go further down the rabbit hole, you would have to like transfer eventually. UC Davis has a fantastic soil science program. It's nice to have a little bit of a background in chemistry and then a little bit even in biology because they're doing a lot more with microbial stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's something we can do in our tissue culture lab. Probably not when we're culturing plants, but a lot of times we can do soil cultures too.
From Petaluma, Jean has a question for you guys. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi, Jean.
Hi. Last spring, or this past spring, I bought a beautiful little dwarf bonanza peach tree from Sonoma Mission Gardens, and I followed the instructions on how to water. And it's done very well. It's a cute little fluffy plant and actually produced an edible peach this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I wondered how to treat it in the winter. Does it need to be covered when it gets frosted?
No. The bonanza peach will tolerate our climate very well. So it's going to lose its leaves through the wintertime and stuff. And it will put out new growth in the spring and a fairly showy blossom for you. And as it gets older and more mature, you're going to get more and more fruit off of it. You might, if you're spraying your other fruit trees and roses with a dormant spray, usually a copper and oil combination, you would definitely want to spray that too, just to keep the fungal disease and the and
done
the,
that before.
Yeah.
But, does it have to be done, you think?
It does. If that's the only tree you have, I would probably say no, it doesn't have to be done. It's just that if you're doing it, it's a good idea because it will help protect that tree a little bit from the fungal problem of peach leaf curl. And peach leaf curl is really related to the weather conditions in the spring. But here in Sonoma County, we always get those nice, moist, kind of warm springs. And peach leaf curl usually is there no matter what you do. Even people that have sprayed 3, 4, and 5 times get peach leaf curl.
Yeah.
So it's not a hard fact that it's going to keep you your tree clear. But if you see peach leaf curl develop in the spring and you didn't spray it, pick it off as it shows. And it'll keep pushing new growth for you.
All right. Good. Well, it shouldn't need any watering as long as we're having regular rains, maybe.
Do you have this in the ground or in a container?
It's in the ground, yes.
Yeah. If the weather goes on the way it's supposed to, especially for the next week or so, you're probably in good shape just forgetting about it. But if we have a real dry spell that runs for like 3 or 4 weeks, because sometimes in January we'll get those, that false spring thing. You might have to give it a little drink of water during that time, but it shouldn't be a complete and total necessity at this point to do any watering.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jean.
Thanks for your business, too.
From Petaluma, let us stay in Petaluma. Doc has a question for both of you. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi, Doc.
Hi. Thank you. I have a thornless blackberry up against the west fence on the border of the property here. And I was wondering, is it too early to trim that thing back?
I'm actually in the process of trimming my thornless blackberries right now. I'm probably going to wait a couple of days just because we got this nice thorough soak, so I don't want to create compaction by digging up too much right now. But winter is the best time of year to start trellising those, for sure.
How much should I cut them back? I mean, should I cut them all the way to the ground, or...
Because what's going to happen is those fruit on a second year cane. So you want to cut out any canes that fruited this year, and any canes that didn't bear fruit, trellis those into a form that you would have to grow, because those are going to produce your fruit next year.
Okay, good. Yeah, I had 16-foot canes last year, so they're pretty incredible.
Yeah, quite vigorous, yeah. I usually use, you're welcome to come down to the Burbank Gardens and see our trellising system if you're interested in that, mostly because it's free to wander around unless you come next weekend, and then it's $3. But then you get tea and cookies, and you get to see how we trellis blackberries too. But we typically do a couple of just straight wires across, and we'll keep four main canes from each thing. We're not interested in high level production since it's more of a demonstration garden, so maybe in your own home you would want to use more trellising wires, but it would make a really nice kind of espalier effect for you if you do that.
Well, thank you for the invitation. Maybe I'll shoot down here.
All right.
Thanks for your call, Doc. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we can take a few more calls. We have about 15 minutes or so for Garden Talk. Avail yourselves of both Dave Fazio from the Sonoma Mission Gardens Nursery of 40-plus years, and also teaching that long at the Horticulture Department of the Santa Rosa Junior College, answering your questions now. And he's joined by Rachel Spaeth, the garden curator for our Luther Burbank Gardens. And you can meet Rachel one-on-one and chat with her and tell her what a great job she's doing next weekend at the Holiday Open House, December 1st and 2nd from 10 to 4 at the Luther Burbank Gardens. It's $3 if you're an adult. Kids under 12, absolutely free. It's the corner of Santa Rosa and Sonoma Avenues in downtown Santa Rosa. There'll be all kinds of wonderful holiday-related items for sale, local jewelers, ornaments featuring Luther's 1889 greenhouse. There's also tea and cookies. Rachel will be baking those fresh on site. Oh, wait, you won't be baking cookies fresh on site, will
you?
No,
but Chops made our cookies.
That's right.
For
us. The Chops Teen Club will be doing that. And also, will there be docent tours around the gardens?
Know if we do regular garden tours. Usually it's just the docent station in the house, but people are interested, I'm totally willing to do that.
Cool. All of that, 10 to 4, support a true landmark of Sonoma County. If you have guests coming in for the holidays, make sure that includes a stop at Luther Burbank's home and gardens. Back after this, no one on hold at this moment. 636-1350, great time to get in with questions, or you can shoot us a question, steve@ksro.com.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
This giving season, there's no better way to say happy holidays than with custom cards, calendars, and photo gifts from Vistaprint. And until December 2nd, you can get special Black Friday prices with 60% off all holiday cards and calendars at Vistaprint.com. Plus, save on other photo gifts. It's our best deal of the season. So get Black Friday prices with 60% off all holiday cards and calendars. Plus, save on other photo gifts at Vistaprint.com. Just enter promo code Radio60. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code Radio60.
Since 1960, the family at Malm Fireplace Center in Santa Rosa has been helping people in Sonoma County with their indoor and outdoor heating needs. But more than ever, during these trying times in our community, Malm is thinking safety first. It's very important for your family to make sure that your gas or pellet stoves are safety checked to make sure everything is operating correctly and efficiently. Visit them at 368 Yolanda Avenue in Santa Rosa or go to malmfireplacecenter.com.
The Rohnert Park Community Services Department presents the 39th Annual Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair, November 23rd and 24th, from 10 till 4 p.m. at the Rohnert Park Community Center, corner of Snyder and Expressway.
See local arts and crafts artisans with unique holiday ideas for giving and displaying. Distinctive jewelry, yard art, wine barrel creations, lotions, scarves and hats, even gift food items. There'll be roaming entertainment and food both days of the fair. Returning this year is Little Elf's Workshop. Children can visit the workshop to write a letter to Santa and drop in Santa's mailbox before they leave.
Don't miss this perfect opportunity to shop locally from a variety of talented artists and craftsfolk from all around the Bay Area. Be sure to visit the annual Holiday Pottery and Fused Glass Sale offering one-of-a-kind pieces.
That's the 39th annual Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair, Friday and Saturday, November 23rd and 24th, from 10 till 4, both days at the Rohnert Park Community Center on Snyder Lane. Don't miss the best craft fair in Sonoma County, period.
What are you doing to relax tonight? Watching some TV? Helping the kids with their homework? A little work around the house maybe? You know, there's a better way to unwind. Why not take a vacation every day right at home in a luxurious Sundance Spa from Spa Land in Cotati? Immerse yourself into a space where worries will drift away. Meet the owners at Spa Land in Cotati and say goodbye to your aches, pains, and stress. Bring one home for your next everyday vacation. Visit them in Cotati across from Lowe's since 1983, spaland.com.
It is Garden Talk Live at KSRO in Santa Rosa, California. Live radio on this holiday weekend. You can reach both our gardening experts in the KSRO greenhouse now at 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO. And that is Dave Fazio, pinch hitting for Gwen Kilcher from the Sonoma Mission Gardens and the JC, and the garden curator from Luther Burbank Gardens here in downtown Santa Rosa, in Sonoma Avenue and Santa Rosa Avenue. That's Rachel Spaeth. Gosh, how many years you've been there now? I remember when you were just a novice when we had you on.
Yeah, I've been with the Home and Gardens for 11 years. It'll be 12 soon.
Oh my, it's been that long?
It's been that long.
I think we've had you on since 2007 or 8, 9, somewhere
yeah,
like
I
that.
Yeah, I think it was with my affiliation with the California Rare Fruit Growers that I
That's
started
right.
coming to visit, yeah.
And are you still active with the Rare Fruit Growers?
I am. I'm their secretary now.
Madam Secretary.
Yeah, I got termed out as chair. And so last week we had a very productive annual meeting in the greenhouse of Luther Burbank. And so that was really fun. It was a little potluck. Everybody brought delicious things that they'd been making and growing. And yeah, good times.
And actually, you have the Scion Exchange coming up in a couple months, don't you?
We do. And I'll probably be back to talk about that.
Hello there, Dave. Hello there, Rachel, can I put my dwarf peach tree in one of those metal water trough planters? And if yes, do I need a special soil to put in the holes at the bottom for drainage or gravel? Another question. Well, let's take that question first. What about that?
As long as she puts holes in the bottom of her metal trough, she can for drainage. But don't make the holes too big because it'll keep. You want to keep the gophers out, mm-hmm. you know, but... something about half an inch in diameter or so is great, and not just one. You're going to need quite a number of them in there because they're designed to hold water and you don't want to flood everything. Mm. And I would just use a good garden soil, or she can use a potting soil, or if she goes to a local landscape supplier or something, they'll have several things that they would probably recommend to her.
Okay.
But she was putting in a peach.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, dwarf. Make sure it's something that's kind of coarse and will drain well rather than a heavier soil.
Okay, that's our first question. Second is another question. How do I make my cherry tomatoes sweeter? I planted some this year and they were tasting really boring. They lacked that sweet cherry tomato taste. Thank you, Susan. Was that maybe a nutrient deficiency, potassium or magnesium or something, or just the variety?
It sounds like too much water to me. A lot of times if you're watering your plant a lot, especially with tomatoes, it'll literally water down the flavor in them. So I would say less water. People are actually dry farming most of those. But if you're keeping it in a container, I mean, you do have to keep your container moist. But definitely if it's in a container, you want to check the moisture at the bottom of the pot, not necessarily just what's at the surface. because at the surface it can be a little confusing. You know, mm-hmm. you touch the top of it, you're like, oh, that's dry, when really the bottom of your pot is super wet. It's just that it evaporated from the top of the soil first.
And how many peach trees do you have planted at Luther Burbank Gardens?
Oh, at the Burbank Gardens, I have 4 peach trees planted.
Can you name the varieties?
I cannot, but I got them from the USDA's germplasm repository, and they represent 4 peaches from breeding programs in 4 different parts of the world. So they're very diverse.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they all bear fruit?
They all bear fruit. I wouldn't say that they make it to maturity because we have a lot of humans. One of them is actually a nectarine, and it's this magnificent tree. This year it was completely loaded. It's a small tree. It's shorter than me, so it's probably about 5'5", but it had, I don't know, 50 or 60 fruits on it. I didn't get to taste a single one, and they were all picked before ripe.
Do you know what nectarine it was?
I don't.
Okay. Boy, because they seem to be problematical around here. We have a lot of problems, Dave, in questions during the summer about nectarines just not doing very well. Don't you think peaches might be more reliable? No, you're saying no.
Well, the only difference between a peach and a nectarine is that one of them has fuzz and the other one doesn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a lot of it's got to do with the water practices.
I guess I'm thinking of white nectarines.
White peaches and white nectarines, they don't really do that well here.
Yeah, they're a little more difficult than the gold ones are to grow, but sure. But they still will perform pretty well. And other than the peach leaf curl thing in the springtime, they both perform reasonably well around here.
Okay. Santa Rosa plums, you must have those.
Oh, yeah, you have to have a Santa Rosa plum.
Because Sarah Burr, she's coming up in the next hour, the Fruit Foragers Companion. She spent some time in Santa Rosa and raves about those Santa Rosa plums.
You know, I did a taste test this year. So I went and spoke at the Festival of Fruit, and I took this really fancy tasting tray. It was an ice cube tray and had 14 different samples of 14 different Burbank plums. And everybody loves the Santa Rosa. It's the most complex in flavor. It's good for durability. You can get early Santa Rosa, mid Santa Rosa, late Santa Rosa, weeping Santa Rosa. They all have like a little bit slightly different flavor profile, but realistically, it's kind of the standard. Even when you're looking at bloom periods or anything for your trees, they're going to tell you this flowers 2 weeks before Santa Rosa or 3 weeks after Santa Rosa. It has become the industry standard.
Do you have all those 4 varieties planted at Luther Burbank Gardens?
Well, not as whole trees, but I do have them all grafted into our fantastic little plum orchard. It's got 5 trunks and 35 cultivars grafted in there.
And you still think that the Santa Rosa plum comes out on top as far as flavor and texture?
I really do. Yeah.
I love it. She's such a local girl. That's right. Go, Santa Rosa plum. Go,
but,
Santa
but
Rosa
the thing
plum.
Is, there's a lot of really good plums.
There are. And now the Zegger breeding program has come out with a lot of those plum cots and apriums and things like that. And a lot of those require less chill hours. Some of them are self-fertile. So it makes it a little bit easier for the home grower.
Couple closing comments right after this.
Hello, Sonoma County. It's your boy Joe Pags here with your early evenings. Congratulations to Pat Kerrigan and KSRO on winning 2 Marconi Awards.
Enjoy the last of the summer vegetables and fruits at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. The market is popping with the colors of fresh greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, walnuts, almonds, and even fresh chestnuts. Meet local ranchers offering a variety of quality meats, beef, pork, and lamb. Salmon Creek Ranch is taking orders for your Thanksgiving or Christmas goose. There's fresh fish and crab from Anna's Seafood. Everything you need to create the freshest Thanksgiving feast is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Holiday parties are almost here. Look and feel naturally beautiful with safe makeup products from Lisa's unique online beauty bar. Through the end of November, save up to 27% off with the anniversary customer special. Includes One Step Epic Mascara in black, brown, and purple. Lip Splash Lip Stain Doesn't Kiss Off in metallic pink. Purple eyeliner and a cleansing makeup remover stick. Find Lisa's unique beauty bar at facebook.com/mymakeupbeautybar.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at a Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team has won first place 14 years in a row at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. And this year, our garden, Coastal Charisma, won Best of Show. I'm excited to be a part of Better Way Produce and Nursery. Our family would like to invite you to come see our old-fashioned, easy-to-shop nursery. We have great discounted landscape packages, including plants, hardscape, irrigation, design, and other outdoor needs for your garden. Don't miss our koi pond, small spaces demonstration gardens, complete with water features and nearly 1,000 plant species.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
After last year's devastating fires, we've all been caring for our families, our neighbors, and our community. But too often, we overlook one very important thing, recovering our peace of mind. Go to MySonomaStrong.com for a free online wellness self-assessment. While you're there, you can learn about free programs, including restorative yoga classes and children's programs, to private counseling in person, by phone, or even by text. Let's find our new normal together. Visit MySonomaStrong.com today.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. This year, people can grace their holiday tree with a memento of a lost landmark. Correct, Rachel?
That's right. So last year, they made round barn ornaments to commemorate the loss of the round barn, and then the proceeds from that were donated to fire victims. And then we went through the same company this year to get the Burbank greenhouse made. So it's locally sourced, and we do have both the round barn and the Burbank greenhouse. So you can start your Sonoma County landmark historical collection of cool ornaments.
Oh, how wonderful. Those will be for sale.
Yeah, in the next couple of years, we're working on trying to get Maria Carrillo Adobe and probably Jack London as well.
Oh, how wonderful. Where can you buy Santa Rosa plums as far as to plant those? Someone's just asking. Do most nurseries sell them?
Yeah, Santa Rosa has been one of the best-selling plums we've carried for years. And it's like one of those staples that you definitely carry. There are other plums that people look for and stuff, but nine times out of ten, when you go, well, what kind of a plum do you want? It's Santa Rosa.
Okay. All right. That's great. I'm sorry we can't get to Diane's question. She sent us some photo of a pineapple guava and a pomegranate tree, but we're just out of time. Do you have pineapple guava and strawberry guava at Luther Burbank Gardens?
I have pineapple guava and Chilean guava.
What's
and
that?
And an Arayan guava, actually.
What's a Chilean guava?
Oh, it's a low-growing shrub that only gets about 2.5 feet tall, grows in deep shade and underneath walnut, and gets cute little tiny fruits that are kind of minty almost.
Oh, how wonderful. We'll be back with John Ash and the K. Have you heard of that one before, Dave?
Is that
Holgi Mulinae?
Oh, okay. I know that botanical name. I was thinking Psidium, but which is another guava.
There's a whole world of guavas out there. Thank you, Dave Fazio. It was wonderful seeing you.
It was nice being here.
Thank you, Rachel, for coming in today also.
Always.
And we hope we have a good turnout from our listeners next Saturday and Sunday at the Luther Burbank Open House. It's 10 to 4. Put it on your calendar. Enjoy the tea and cookies and the beautiful surroundings and support our local artisans and merchants. John Ash in the KS Arto Kitchen, that following the news.